Good morning. Welcome to Worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us this day. And of course, happy Father's Day. So happy to celebrate that. Got my Father's Day shirt on. This one I got from my oldest when she was about the age of my youngest. And so I get to wear this every Father's Day and find great joy in that. But yeah, thanks for joining us today. Today we're going to be reflecting upon Jesus' words to his disciples just after he sends them out. Last week we heard from Pastor Bob about how Jesus sent out the disciples to go and share the good news with people. And today we hear about Jesus' warnings to those same disciples. So we'll reflect upon that later. I invite you to stand as we begin our service, remembering who we belong to, having been claimed in the waters of holy baptism beginning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this beautiful day that you have given us to be in your presence, to worship you, Lord, to thank you for your word that we receive today, Lord, that we may be fed and filled. And Lord, I thank you that you send your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and our minds, Lord, so that we can understand this word and that that our faith can be strengthened, Lord, just as you gave us our faith in the first place. All this we pray in your holy name. Amen. All right. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing.
Of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. life about the one who saved my life. The power of the blood is the reason I'm alive. I thank God day and night. I'm not where I used to be. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me.
My name is Lars. I'm one of the elders, and I want to wish every father's happy Father's Day to all the fathers, and it's my privilege to read the scriptures this morning. Our first reading is from Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. Shout for joy to the Lord of all earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, and that he is who made us. And we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Sermon text for today is Matthew chapter 10, verses 21 to 33. Brother will betray brother to death and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a student to be like their teachers and a servant like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, nor hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of the one who kills the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. This is God's word for us today. Children, it's now time for the children's message, so come on forward at this time. I don't think you're always awake, but you're always awake here. That's good. All right, very good. Well, folks, I have a question for you today. Have you ever had a secret? Has anybody else ever told you a secret? Yeah. And what's the obligation? If somebody tells you a secret, what are you supposed to do with it? You're supposed to keep the secret, which means you don't tell anybody, right? You got to keep it to yourself because it is a secret. Very good. All right. Well, here's the thing. When Jesus was here on earth, he taught his disciples all kinds of stuff. And when he taught them the stuff, a lot of times he was like alone with them. And he told his disciples, don't tell anybody, right? Like, there was a time when Jesus was like, he was healing people, and he healed somebody because he just felt so bad for them. But then he told them, what did he tell them right after he told them, or right after he healed them? Don't tell anybody. All right. So how did that work? Do you think the people didn't tell anybody? No, because after Jesus got done preaching, after he died on the cross and rose again, he went to told his disciples, now it's time. Tell everybody, right? Because here's the thing. What Jesus was teaching his disciples was he was teaching them what God's plan for saving us was. Right? He's saying, listen, I want you to understand exactly what it is that I came here for. And what did Jesus come here for? He came here so that he could take all of our sins on himself. And then he would die for them, right? So that we wouldn't have to be punished for our sin. Right? And so is it good to keep that secret anymore? Now that's a secret that we need to share. We have to tell everybody. So no more secrets. Now we just say what Jesus did for us and we tell absolutely everybody we possibly can. Can we do that?
Yeah.
All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. Help us to not keep that secret, but tell everybody. In your name we pray. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember when I was in high school, I got to enjoy going to, of course, Six Flags St. Louis. I remember being in line for the Batman ride, and I love that thing, all the twists and the turns. And one time I was there, and there was a dad who was there with his daughter, and she's just at that height where it's kind of uncertain. Is she going to get on or is she not? So the whole first part of the line is this kind of eager anticipation of, okay, I think I'm tall enough. Can I make myself taller? What can I do? And then they get to the point where they measure you, and all right, she's tall enough, you can go on. So now that excitement suddenly shifts to a bit of apprehension as she's looking at the ride and watching it go up high and watching it drop down low and watching it do a loop and watching it do a corkscrew and all of these things. And she's asking her dad, does it go really fast? Yes, it does actually. Does it go really, really high? It looks kind of high. Is it high? Yeah, it goes really high. Does it go down really fast? It looks like it goes down really fast. Yep, it does that too. Does it go upside down? I've never been on a ride that goes upside down. Does it go upside down? Yep, look right there. You can see it goes upside down. Does it go crazy twisty? Yep, right there. You can see it goes twisty. And after explaining everything that is about to happen to his daughter, he says, but I'm going to be with you the entire ride. It's going to be okay. And this is what came to my mind as I read through our text for today, a text that intriguingly doesn't seem very apt for Father's Day, and yet here we are. It's something where, as a side note, sometimes Pastor Bob and I will do sermon series on different things to try to focus on part of God's Word or a theme of God's Word. But what we do often otherwise is follow what's called the lectionary. It's a series of readings to kind of work through mostly either Matthew, Mark, or Luke's gospel and some other readings along the way. And right now we're in the series on Matthew's gospel, so it just so fell that today, the appointed text for today is this text, which begins, brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. That doesn't sound like a good Father's Day thing. Children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures the end will be saved. See, and all this, like I said at the beginning of the service, is put in the location of Jesus has called many different people to follow him. And then of those who are following him, he takes 12 specific men and says, I have a very important task for you to do at this time. I want you to go out ahead of me to proclaim the good news of what God is doing in and through me. Go tell people about this Jesus whom you are following. Tell them about what I'm doing, what I'm saying. Ultimately, tell them about your Heavenly Father. But Jesus doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't say, and when you go out, every time you talk about me, everyone will immediately receive the word with joy, and they'll just have an abundant crop. No, Jesus says very realistically, there are some who will listen to you, but there are many who will not. And in fact, the results of this might at first glance seem to be unpleasant, counterproductive, and yet, do not fear these things. He goes on, when they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. And he says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and a servant like his master. But if called the master of the house, in other words, if they've said of Jesus that he is Beelzebul, there's another story where the Pharisees are not liking what Jesus has been doing. They're pretty certain that this guy cannot be from God. And so, like, clearly he must be in league with Satan. That's the only explanation. And so here you have Beelzebul being another name for Satan. The Hebrew there could either be Lord of Filth, Baal being Lord and Zebul being filth, or Lord of Flies, intriguingly enough. Imagine that's inspiration for a certain book, but regardless. If they called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? And yet, in light of all of this truth that Jesus shared with them, of saying there will be times where you will share the good news and people will reject it, and not only will they reject it, but they will outright want to hurt you or kill you. Despite this, he says, so have no fear of them. For nothing is covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your heavenly Father. Even the number of hairs that are on your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. It's good to know. Did you know you're more valuable than many sparrows? Take nothing else from this sermon. Take that. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And these are very strong words of Jesus. You know, as you think about who it is that you believe your Lord and Savior is and what he calls you to do, I would venture to guess that this is not the first passage that comes to your mind. Admittedly, it's not mine. And yet at the same time, what Jesus calls us to do is not too different from the fishermen of leave everything that you might otherwise be doing and follow him. And Jesus doesn't call all of us to leave our jobs, to stop everything that we're doing and go do some other life. But at the same time, Jesus does call all of us to say, he is the one who is our Lord and Savior. In other words, if any other relationships that you have in your life would pull you away from following him, then that's not quite how the dynamics ought to be, and that's a problem. As I was reflecting upon this text, though, admittedly, I found that it didn't reflect my experience as a follower of Jesus through my life here in the United States of America. In other words, right now we have a relative time of lacking persecution for a majority of Christians, at least here in this place in the world. In other words, me who grew up in the church have not experienced a threat to my life for following Jesus, as Jesus is describing here in the text. And I'm not saying that that's necessary. I'm very grateful for that reality, to be honest. And I would venture to guess that many, if not all of you, have had a similar sort of experience in your life of following Jesus. So as I was reflecting upon this text, I thought then, what might be a slightly different experience for us who are called to follow where our Lord and Savior leads us? And what are the temptations that might pull us away from being in a place of trust? And at least what came to my mind was something that occurs in Deuteronomy. Here it is that God has brought his people out of bondage of slavery in Egypt, and he's brought them to the promised land. And here he says, I want you to continue to trust me. You know what I have done for you. You know how I have been with you, how I've never abandoned you. But I also don't want to sugarcoat the possible future that's in play. He says, the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you might live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give your fathers. You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make known, the man does not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out. Your feet did not swell these 40 years. Know that in your heart, that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and springs flowing out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of olive trees, and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. In other words, can you picture this? God has brought his people out of slavery. They wandered in the wilderness for a while. Part of that was because God first took them to the front door of the promised land, and they said, we are more scared of these giants that are living in the land than we are of the God who brought us out of Egypt. And so God said, all right, this generation is going to pass away. And yet, can you picture it? Walking in the desert for 40 years and somehow your clothes do not wear out, your feet do not swell, you endure that entire time. And God says, I brought you through this, and now I'm going to bring you to this land that is a gorgeous land to live in. There's already olive trees growing. There's already honey to be had. There's good metals to be dug up out of the earth, and all this I'm giving to you. And yet in light of this, he says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all of you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of a flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do good in the end. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. In other words, the point that I'm making as I reflect upon my own life and how grateful I am that I have not experienced the type of persecution that Jesus is warning his disciples might experience, the disciples might experience those who follow him, and has been true for many generations since, I find this other warning of God, not sugarcoating it, of what could happen might be more applicable. In other words, we live, thankfully, in a wonderful land of abundance, a land of opportunity, as it's called. A land where if I thought to myself, you know, I think I want to start a business, I can do that. There are various ways that can support me allowing me to do this. I have the freedom to bring my family to church on a regular basis, freedom to teach them about God's word. And yet all of us who struggle with sin know how easy it is for our pride to well up within us and say, look what I have done by the work of my hand, by the strength of my arm, by my intelligence and my prowess. And God warns the Israelites how easy that can be and says, don't let yourself fall into the temptation that says, I have no need of trusting God anymore. How easy it can be in our sin to forget who it is, by whose might and whose power we have come to be in the place that we are. So what did you expect it would be like to follow this Jesus? Did you expect as you follow Jesus that all of life's problems will immediately melt away? as you have before you two warnings, the root of all of it, the call of all of it, is to trust in God. Trust that He is the one who guides you through all the difficulties that you might face. Trust that He is the one who's provided for you all the blessings and wonderful things that you experience. Don't give in to the temptation that says you have done this by your own strength and prowess, by your own abilities. I appreciate as well Jesus' warnings to his disciples, because the reality again is that sin is a problem, not just for the individual, but in society. What we experience right now here in North America is not the same as experienced around the world. You go to places like Egypt and India, and the underground church is still a reality for them, needing to worship God in secret. The reality of if you go and you become a follower of Jesus, you might come home to have your entire house burned down. And while I'm grateful that that is not the case here, just because I've experienced thus far, I cannot guarantee such things might not happen in the future. So I appreciate Jesus' warnings and not sugarcoating it, because you do not know what the future might hold. The day may come where you will be having more required of you to trust God and say, yes, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And it might be a greater risk to profess such out loud. But in that day, remember, you are worth more than a bunch of sparrows. Consider how Jesus, in his final statement, says to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And he finishes with a promise that says, I will be with you always, to the very end of the age. In other words, my main takeaway I want to give you this day, regardless of where you find yourself, when it comes to how other people who do not believe respond to you as a believer, both now and in the future, is do not fear anyone who would seek to reject your witness and your message, who reject you, though you seek to follow your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Know that Jesus is with you always, no matter where you go, no matter what you do. You are not alone. And your Heavenly Father knows all that you need, and He cares for you so much more than a bunch of birds. Amen.
Who you are. Please join me by standing as we profess the faith our Lord has given us. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Please be seated, and I invite Pastor Darford for this month's Life Talk.
Good morning, and happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. On this Father's Day, your St. Mark's Life team wants to help you focus on men and their God-given and important role in life and life issues. Let me begin with a little reminder of the role God gives men in life, and especially in the life of a family. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3 says, "But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God." And in Ephesians 5, verse 33, "However, let each one of you, husbands, love his wife as he loves himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." And then in Ephesians 6, verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." These are some of God's thoughts in his word concerning the role of a husband and father in the life of a family. We could say from these verses in the Bible that the man of the family is to be the spiritual head of his family. This in no way diminishes the important role of the wife and mother in a family, and one might also say that the father is the head and the mother is the heart of a family. God creates each with the gifts to fulfill these roles as head and heart. The importance of these two different but equally important roles become evident as children grow in their life in the family as God intends. Studies have shown that children in a Christian home learn the personalness of their Christian faith primarily from their mothers, and the practice of their faith primarily from their fathers. How the father lives out his faith by showing in his life the importance of things like worship, time in God's word, prayer, and seeking to be directed totally by God's truth is being carefully watched by his children. In fact, the old King James Version of the Bible says in Ephesians 6, 4, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." A simple meaning of exasperate might be, don't confuse them by saying one thing and modeling another. Maintain your integrity. Your children are watching. Remember, our focus in this Life Talk is on the important role of the father in life and life issues. And this important role begins with the conception of a living, unborn human being in the womb of the mother. Discussions around choosing abortion or choosing life during an unplanned pregnancy usually focuses on the woman, but the man has a crucial role to play as well. The father of the unborn child has influence in this most important life decision. A recent study showed that 3/4 of men are consulted by the mother in this important decision, and it was found that these men are the most influential voice in the decision, more than doctors, more than mothers, fathers, or friends. In this same study, it was found that one-third of these men thought that they had no influence in the matter, thinking that it was solely the woman's choice and decision. Men also are affected negatively when an abortion occurs through sadness, guilt, and regret. It was also found that fathers who are involved early on in the life of a child, even before the birth of that child, are more likely to stay engaged in their children's life as they grow. So, men, fathers, I hope you're getting the message about your importance in all of life and life's issues. To continue highlighting that for you, your St. Mark's Life team has a special gift for fathers today. It's a small stone for you to carry or place in a prominent place that says, "Dad, you are our rock." And it has the scripture, Proverbs 20, verse 7. "The righteous man who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him." Your family, your children are watching. Be the man and father God intends you to be and make a difference in life and life issues. Thank you.
Please join me in standing as we bring forth our prayers to our Father in heaven. Dear glorious, everlasting Father in heaven, as we go through this roller coaster of life that you have put us on, please continue to guide us, keep our hearts guarded as we go through the ups and downs. And speaking to that, Father, please be with some members of our congregation, specifically Mary Holloway, Lord. Please be allow the surgery that she has had to bless her body and give her the peace and the healing that she needs at this time, Lord. Additionally, be with Pam Hafner as she goes through eye surgery tomorrow. Lord, be with the surgeon, specifically with his skills as he performs the procedure. But additionally, Lord, Pam prays that that surgeon would find a relationship with you, God. Bless Pam as she's been a light in his life. God, on this Father's Day, Divine Father in heaven, be with the fathers in our church and community, that they would be strengthened by the Holy Spirit and be encouraged. Let all Christian fathers be renewed by the Lord's fatherhood and proclaim his faithfulness to the next generation. Additionally, Lord, other leaders in our life, we want to pray for them too, specifically this week, our local leadership. Almighty and everlasting God, you rule all things in heaven and earth. Give your wisdom to our civil leadership, that they may seek to govern with justice and compassion. Specifically, please be with Mayor Flower and our local leadership. We pray that their doings will honor you. Also then, since you, Lord, have permitted them to be in leadership, guide our hearts to honor and respect them as they serve. We pray all of these things in your holy name, and in accordance with your word, we pray together the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
everything to you. Shelter, shepherd, Savior, King, I give everything to you.
Friends, our God has once again met us here, and through his word, he has taught us, and through the Spirit, that word is powerful and changes us. And through this body and blood, the God comes to us, and he works in us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. because we know that what our God, he does, because we know that he is faithful, even when we are not, depart in his peace and receive our Lord's blessing as we go our ways today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.
Bear my cross.
Thank you again for joining us in worship this day. I'd like to dismiss any children who are going to Sunday school. Can go ahead and meet our DC Lauren Bates there in the back. Again, happy Father's Day. Thank you so much for being a father and doing the hard work of what God calls you to in that role. Also like to note, Denise Kasten is leading a new ladies' Bible study on 1 Corinthians 13 on the second and fourth Mondays at 7 o'clock starting tomorrow, and they're going to be meeting in the youth room. If you have any questions about where that is, you can talk to me or Denise Kasten or Pastor Bob. As well, Pastor Bob is going to be teaching his Bible study again on archaeology in the Bible, continuing that today here in the Worship Center at 11 o'clock. So I invite you all to stick around for that. Otherwise, thank you again for joining us. Have a blessed day.